Hey, hi, hello, and welcome to my beauty industry enthusiasts, content creators, and brand visionaries. Get ready to step into a world where beauty meets business, where the creator economy blends seamlessly with strategy. I'm Sonia Elise, and this is Lip Service, the podcast. We're about to redefine the way that you think about the beauty industry. From the boardroom to the makeup room, we're leaving no stone unturned. Lip Service is your backstage pass to the beauty industry's best kept secrets. Now take out your notebook, fill up your emotional support water bottle, and swipe on your favorite lip gloss. Let's get into the episode. Welcome back to Lip Service, the podcast. We're here with a very special guest today. Kevin is joining us from, where are you right now? Where in the world are you?
Well, hello. I'm in Virginia right now. I'm going back to LA next week, but I just needed like a break and here for a bachelorette weekend. So I came to party on the East Coast. Yeah.
We love it. There's nothing better than an East Coast party. And right now we're in the throes of the next selection of Ulta Beauty Collective. And yes. If there is one person that caught my eye this year's collective, it was you. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast.
Thank you. I cannot wait to talk about it. Honestly, it was such an amazing experience. And I will give it a little insight. They're opening it up to previous collective members. So
you reapplied.
I reapplied. So possibly
we'll be in the collective
together. If anybody listening is applying, there'll be a chance that a few past collective members are going to be in there with you.
Amazing. Okay. Well, before we dive into the nitty gritty of your experience and what you learned and all of the good things, number one, we have to ask, what's on your face today?
So on my face right now, I have the new skin tint from Live Tinted, and it is phenomenal. It is somewhat glowy. It's buildable. I'm so impressed by it. And honestly, their powder as well. I just am so impressed by Live Tinted launches. I think they are phenomenal. So yeah, a new fave.
Anything else?
I have on the Nudestix blush. Have you seen that one? It has like sunscreen in it as well. Anything that has like a little bit of sunscreen. So it's a blush that you put on your cheeks and it has a little bit of extra sun protection, which I love, especially because the high points of my face is where the sun obviously hits us. So not that I rely solely on that sun protection in the blush to provide me my overall protection. I like to layer it on with other sunscreens. So I use regular sunscreen. The skin tint has an SPF of 50 and then my blush has extra SPF. Like, let's just load it on me, please, to provide that protection. And it's a beautiful, almost like pinky, almost corally type of color. And I think it's just gorgeous. And then I do have
I'm going to have to look into this.
Rudy Berry. Yeah. And then I do have some Rudy Berry brown mascara on as well. Because why not?
Something extra. Amazing. Yeah. I'm going to have to look into this. I'm wearing the Nudestix Cherry Blossom Babe, which I do love. But I didn't know they came out with a cheek that has SPF. I have to look into that.
It's almost like a liquid blush too, because they make amazing cream blushes, but this is like a bit more of a liquid consistency and it glides on beautifully. It layers with other products. And again, that extra sun protection, I think is just a golden across the board for me. Yeah, it's a bonus.
Love it. Okay. Next question that we ask everybody. If you knew you were going to unfortunately die tomorrow, you expire tomorrow, what one product are you taking to the afterlife with you?
Oh, wow, an expiration date on my life tomorrow.
I know.
You know what I would probably take? I've been using have you heard of Educated Mess?
Yes, I have.
Yes. So Alex is a friend of mine, her brand Educated Mess. They have some amazing products. And lately I've been loving the Hair of the Dog face mask. It's like an energizing, it has a bit of a foam to it too. So it's kind of like a sensorial experience behind it. It's a beautiful mask, and lately that's like my go-to self-care product. And that's probably what I don't think I'd be trying to impress anybody in the afterlife.
Sure.
You know, I'm not trying to like necessarily look my best, but I do need a little self-care moment. So I'd probably bring the Hair of the Dog mask by Educated Mess.
Okay. Yeah. Great answer. I love it. Yeah. A little self-care in the afterlife.
Yeah. I know. Maybe I am trying to impress somebody. I'm probably going to the down under. So
never.
Maybe I need to impress somebody to get out. So maybe I need some makeup. So yeah.
We'll see.
We shall
see. Last question.
How are you getting inspired right now? Is it a TV show? Is it another creator? Where are you finding inspiration right now?
That's an interesting question, because I feel like for me, a lot of inspiration comes from places that aren't necessarily in the beauty space. I am an artist at heart. I went to grad school for art. I have been making art my entire life. I'm a painter. I'm a drawer. I just find beauty in art, especially some kind of physical material. So a lot of times I get inspired, if I'm singling out something in the beauty space, a lot of times I get inspired by a new product, whether it's a liquid, whether it's a cream blush, something that I can use to manipulate it in a bit of a special way. I tend to use products for different purposes. Like, you can use a blush for an eyeshadow or a blush as a lipstick or anything like that. But if I'm being honest, the most inspiration comes from nature right now. I've been in a bit of a weird space with my mental health, and a lot of times I escape to the beach or the mountains or some wooded area, something that just is beautiful and quiet and allows me to get away. And that's where I find inspiration to then bring back with me and apply it into my content and apply it into my career.
That is such a good response. And thank you for sharing that with everybody, because I feel like a lot of people feel stuck, low energy right now, not feeling inspired. So yeah.
Do you know the TikTok where they talk about, like, oh, you need to go touch grass, when they tell somebody that's like a bit of out of touch to like go outside and touch grass? Well, turns out we all need to go and touch grass. We all need to step away, put your phone down, go outside, and take a moment to like look at things around you, and you'll find that inspiration, and you'll find that peace that just will allow you to go back and approach the rest of your life with like a level head.
Absolutely. I like to say being offline is the best way to show up online.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you are online and looking for inspiration online, a lot of times I find that my search for inspiration often results in comparison for me. And instead of being inspired by other creators, I find that I kind of like dig my hole a little bit deeper. And all of a sudden I am comparing and I'm putting myself down. And, you know, inspiration for online purposes should come from somewhere else that's not online. At least for me,
absolutely.
And for, I think, a lot of other people out there.
Agreed. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for those. And let's get into our episode.
Yes, thank you.
So we are here with Kevin Lee. I'm so excited. I shot him a DM last week and said, you know what? Everybody is in a tizzy over signing up and applying for Ulta Beauty Collective. I'm getting so many incoming messages about what should I do? What should I include? And who better than to guide us than a current Ulta Beauty Collective member? He's on his way out of this cast, but I think he may be applying again. Who knows? We may see him again. Kevin, I'd love for you to start with a little bit about your background. Like, what made you start being the creator? Kind of what was the journey to the first time that you applied, or even the second time? I'm not sure how many times you've applied, but when you did get selected, kind of let's go from the back until when you got selected. How about that?
Yeah, sure. So I've been watching content for years. You know, I was a consumer back in like 2016, like with the, you know, the rise of the beauty YouTuber. You know, I was a viewer. I was a content consumer at the time. I wasn't so heavily into the makeup though, which I think is very interesting. I started out in skincare. I was a big skincare nerd. I've always dealt with acne all the way since like middle school and high school. There's been some moments where like my skin gets better, and then I always went back to breaking out into dull skin and dry skin. The content specifically started when I was in graduate school. I went to school for art, and I found myself in the studio until like 3 or 4 in the morning. And I was just simply not taking care of myself, both mentally and physically. I threw myself into my academics, and I just kind of forgot about the self-care that I should have been giving myself. So I remember there was one day I just looked in the mirror and I was like, why is my skin so dull and so unhappy? And just, it looked like it was just not alive and not vibrant. So I actually typed in on YouTube, I typed in products for dull skin, and I found a Susan Yara video on YouTube, a mixed makeup Susan Yara video. And I just became obsessed. I was taking in her content and I was sharing it to all my friends. just because I felt like she was so, you know, good at explaining the simplistics of skincare and also trying to make it a little bit more simple, because skincare is complex. It's confusing. Yeah. And when I started like my retinol journey after Susan Yara suggested it on one of her videos, a lot of my friends around me started noticing changes in my skin and they started asking me questions and I would give them recommendations and they said, why are you not doing this online? So actually one day, it was during the pandemic, I started a YouTube channel and I made a YouTube video and it's the most embarrassing thing. It's still up if you want to go and see, but it just kind of stemmed from there. It started with a few YouTube videos and then TikTok came up and I moved over there and started making silly, you know, skincare TikToks, and it just kind of grew. And now all of a sudden I'm making hair care content and makeup and fragrance, and it's all kind of jumbled together, but it's kind of like an exploration that started through skincare.
And was that in 2020 or 2019?
So I started watching Susan back in like 2019, I would say, a little bit before the pandemic, but the content for me started freshly after the pandemic started. It was actually a way, because I went back home with my family and we were all kind of stuck together. And I was like, well, if I need to make a YouTube video, I go upstairs for like 2 hours and I just film by myself. Yeah. So it was a way that I kind of stepped away.
Nice.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. And then how did you hear about Ulta Beauty Collective? What made you want to apply?
So I actually heard about it through my friend Rudy. Rudy was in the year prior to me. She was a collective member, and I just remember seeing her on these brand trips and seeing all the opportunities that she got. But mainly, one of the main reasons that I applied was because, you know, her and I talk every single day. And I remember just hearing about the connections that she made with other content creators. And I think that's one of the most beautiful things about this collective is all of a sudden you have a community of like 30 plus influencers that you grew to be friends like so quickly. And this job is a very isolating job. It's very lonely sometimes. And so to finally have an opportunity to just like build a little family of content creators, it was really like, it seemed awesome. And I was like, I have to apply, especially hearing such good things from her. I just knew that it would be a great fit for me.
That's amazing. I'm really glad that you said community, because I talk about all the time about how being a creator is so lonely. It's
so lonely.
Very difficult. Yeah. And that's part of the reason why I started Lip Service over on Geneva, is because people need a place to chit-chat and share and just say, I'm going through this, and have somebody else being like, yeah, me too. Or I thought this, you know, this is how I dealt with it. And the community that's being built over there is really beautiful. I love seeing it every day.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure people have seen my silly videos with the collective members. I think the collective, you know, the people that work for Ulta, they're probably expecting like a skincare routine, a makeup routine in the morning before. And I'm doing weird little sounds that I found on TikTok. But it was a way that I got us to be just more friendly with one another. Because what I needed in this space, I just needed a friend. I needed somebody to vent to kind of bounce ideas off of. And that's what the collective gave me, was like a little network of 30 friends, which is so needed. They're your coworkers.
So nice. Yeah, for sure. So what was your reaction when you got selected?
I was thrilled. I actually remember there was me and a few friends of mine that were actually applying at the same time. And we were all kind of talking with each other like, oh, did you apply? Did you not? Like, we don't want to be weird with one another if one person gets it and another doesn't.
Sure.
But I remember when I found out that I did get it, I called my friend Victoria and I called my friend Scout. And both of us like looked at each other on FaceTime and we were like, did you get it? Are you going to say you got it first? Like, who's going to tell each other? Because I was so excited to just think about the fact that I could start this new endeavor with some really close friends of mine. And so all three of us got it, me, Victoria, and Scout. And honestly, I was just thrilled. And I honestly couldn't wait to like get in the Instagram group chat with the rest of them. I couldn't wait for our first brand trip. It was just a really exciting moment. And it also provided some security for me, which I don't think a lot of people talked about. This is like a year-long partnership that not only is a great experience for me as a creator to expand my network of other content creators, but it was an opportunity for me to expand my network in terms of brand partnerships and just brand exposure. And so I was really excited to just open up all these new opportunities for myself.
That's incredible. I mean, it's a great benefit for sure.
Mm-hmm.
About how many followers did you have when you applied? And was there anything you did like in your application that you felt like helped you stood out, or any, you know, tips?
Yeah, I think I had a little bit under 20,000 followers on TikTok. And that was my biggest platform at the time. I had probably around 1,000 on YouTube and I think under 10,000 on Instagram. So, mm-hmm. you know, I wasn't the biggest creator. I may actually have been the smallest creator that was on the collective at the time. And mm-hmm. I think that's interesting to point out. You know, there were collective members that had under 20,000 followers, and there was collective members that had well over 4 million, 5 million, especially across the board. Like, there were some massive creators on there. I think one thing that just really helped me stand out was my honesty in my initial video that I sent over to Uta. You know, I talked mm-hmm. about my exploration with makeup and how it kind of connected to my exploration with my own queerness and just kind of the development of that and how I use content creation to kind of touch base with my queer followers, my followers that just like to explore through beauty. And I think also really connected with that, because I think that is a lot of, you know, the philosophy behind these brands. They want exploration. They want somebody to feel comfort and find exploration through their products. And I think they just really found something in that.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the conversation right now about creators is really, has been for a while, authenticity. But I think that mm-hmm. there's a very big difference between authenticity and vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And I think what you shared there is really more vulnerability. Yeah. Authenticity is, of course, showing up and saying, this is who I am. This is really what I think about a product. You know, I'm stepping into this space, being very honest, really trying to connect with my community. But I think, you know, the third wall, if you will, is truly being vulnerable and saying, this is a difficult thing I'm going through. This is yeah. how I was able to lean on this industry to help me get through it. And that's, I think, something that not a lot of creators can get to. Yeah. They just don't feel the comfort there.
Mm-hmm. Vulnerability is really difficult with this job because, you know, although I do find comfort with my followers, they are so supportive and they are great. It's a great community that I have. It's still, you know, I'm speaking to my camera in my room to an audience that I don't necessarily know all that well. You know, your videos can reach a whole audience that just doesn't even follow you. And it's really hard to be vulnerable in those moments and to just allow yourself to open up. But I will always stress that I think it's a beautiful thing to do, especially online, because there's so many people going through their own stuff. And if you can somehow open up and be completely vulnerable, it's going to help people and it's going to allow people to connect with you. And it's just going to build that stronger relationship with your following.
Yeah, we always hope that the positivity outweighs the negativity, even when the negativity can be loud. Mm-hmm. I think that there's so many people who are reached in a positive way who don't say anything, which is hard, but it's good to trust that that is happening, even when negative might be louder in the comment section.
The negative comments are so loud.
So loud.
So loud. And when they come all at once, it's really hard to handle. But, you know, there's people that will connect with you and there's people that will appreciate your vulnerability and your, you know, you showing up online. There's going to be people that appreciate that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So you get in, what are some of the highlights? What are some of the moments that you're like taking with you into the future now that you look back and you're like, oh, thanks for this, Ulta?
Yeah. If I'm going to be materialistic for just like a moment, mm-hmm. I remember the first sure. PR box that I got from them. Aww. It was so exciting. Just, I think it was like a welcome box and it had a variety of products. And I just mm-hmm. remember being like, wow, I'm just going to try so many of these products. I'm going to share them with my followers. It's just going to be a constant thing. And mm-hmm. it was just like a little insight to like what's to come. And that was really, really exciting. I think honestly, the big, big moment for me was when they started talking about our first brand trip. You know, we had two, and mm-hmm. one was at the beginning of the collective year and one was at the end. And when they first started talking about that first brand trip, I was so excited because I felt like I had a little bit of a connection with the other collective members, but I needed mm-hmm. to make them And so I was just like, I was so excited for us all just to get together and talk about beauty and just kind of experience it together, you know, go to these brand events mm-hmm. where we're celebrating not only our own success, but their successes too. And I think that was one of the most beautiful things of the collective, where you see people grow, you see their partnerships that they got through that contact. And it's just, mm-hmm. we're all rooting for one another. And I think that was the most special thing. And I kind of expected that to happen. So I think when they started talking about the first brand trip, I was just excited. I was excited to get this relationship going with them. So it was the first PR box and probably that first email with, like, you know, we're going to LA. And I just knew all of us were coming together. And I was like, oh, thank God. This is going to be so exciting.
So good.
Yeah.
That's great. What brand do you think you were able to have a stronger connection with, or a brand new connection with, that you're taking with you into the future that was really, like, Ulta based? Somebody that you had never talked to before, or someone that was on your wish list that you're like, oh my God, it's happening.
Yeah, there was definitely a few. I think one of the big ones that I remember is Half Magic Beauty with Donnie Davy, who was the makeup artist from Euphoria. Yeah, that was just a moment where I was like, I knew who you were. I knew how monumental you became in the beauty space after that show came out. Do you remember the TikTok trends, the transitions that everyone was creating with, like, the Labyrinth songs and her makeup looks? I just felt like when we found out that we were not only going to get a tutorial from her, like a masterclass using her products and, like, hearing her talk about her experience on the show, we not only got that, but we got a Half Magic event that we were able to go to. And still to this day, it was one of the best events that I've been to. It was an amazing event filled with so many amazing creators. There's events where you walk into and you're like, wow, these are all stuck up people. this is not the crowd of people that I want to be around. And although that is a section of the beauty space, this Half Magic event, you walked in and you were like, these are my people. These are very creative, fun, authentic. You know, the event was so inclusive. It felt right. And then meeting Donnie Davy, I was like, yeah, this makes sense. You're such a kind soul. Your brand is amazing. It's innovative. It's fun. And I think I just can't wait to continue the relationship with them, because they are such a good company. And honestly, the team is fantastic. They are just so fun and so genuine, and it's a great brand.
We love to hear that. We love a positive experience.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to shift to some questions from lip service members here. They would like to know, what is your advice for anyone wanting to be included in UBC?
So I would say the first thing you should do if you want to get noticed by Ulta is to simply be present online and go ahead and tag them. I mean, brands are present online. They are present in their DMs, and they are present in their comment section. They see who supports them. And I think if you continue to show your love for Ulta, even if it's simply, like, you know, film yourself walking into the store, picking up product and showing your favorite products at Ulta, go ahead and do that a few times. They're going to notice, and they're going to comment, and they're going to realize that you are invested in their store and you are invested with these companies that they represent. I think it's also just, you know, continuing to be authentic with yourself. If you look at this collective, the past year that I was in, I think you're going to see a wide variety of influencers. There's someone that's a little bit more into fashion. There's makeup, there's skincare, there's somebody with a podcast. There's somebody who's, I think even somebody's actually like a beauty editor in New York, and they go to fashion shows. I mean, I think her name's Bella, and she's incredible. I think that is actually her profession outside of just her content. Mm-hmm. They want a variety of people. They want you to be authentic, and they want to see your creative side, because then they're going to invest that into their own content, and they want a variety of content on their page as well. So be yourself, show how you love the company, you know, show how you're invested in them, and they'll respond.
Okay. What kind of resources, and if anything you cannot say, feel free to say that. That's okay. What kind of resources does Ulta provide the collective?
So yeah, I think I can be 100% honest. I maybe should have gone back and read my contract, but, you know, it's fine.
We can edit after if you need any edits.
So I think, you know, one of the big ones is the constant an overwhelming amount of PR that you are going to be getting. And although I don't mean to say that as a flex, I mean to say that as an opportunity for you as a creator to have more access to products and brands that you can then utilize in your content going forward. It's really difficult to be a creator that's just starting out, a micro or a nano creator, who just simply doesn't have access to that amount of product. When products are going viral, brands are going to send them out in a PR box just so they can continue the hype. You know, so think about the amount of products and the amount of brands that are in Ulta. Think about all of those brands. If you see a product that's going to go viral on TikTok, that brand is probably going to send it out to everybody. And then you have the opportunity to then be involved in that conversation, continuing to build hype, and it's going to eventually build your audience. So the amount of PR that you're going to get is really going to help evolve your content and allow you to be more present in the conversations that are happening on social media, especially with the virality of certain products. So PR is a big one. You get access to a lot of masterclasses where you just hop on a Zoom call, you hear about their product formulations, you hear about upcoming launches, you get to meet with some of the brand founders, including the celebrity brand founders. We got a Zoom call with Halsey, which was incredible.
So cool.
Yeah, it was so cool, especially because she's so invested in her company. And those are opportunities that you get with the collective. You also get access to certain events. You get access to certain brand collabs. I think actually brand collabs, I found that you get the opportunity first to sign up through the platform that they use. And then I did see it kind of open up to other creators that aren't necessarily in the collective. But yeah, you get a lot of opportunities, just like connections with brands and the resources that they provide, whether it be PR or collaborations or whatever. And you have just more access to product and to these brands that allows you to develop your content.
Very good answer. I feel like those are great ways to support the collective.
Yeah.
So, glad to hear it. What are some of your success stories coming out of the collective, do you think?
One of the big ones, I think, is, you know, as a creator, you know, I don't mean to be all about the money, but it is really, really nice when you can acquire a long-term partnership that provides you the stability to keep doing this as your full-time job. I mean, it's really hard to make this a sustainable career for yourself. It's a weird job where it's not a consistent, thing. Like, it's really hard to get consistent payments. So to have the opportunity to work with, for example, for me, I worked with Lancome. Lancome was a long-term partnership that I had throughout the entirety of my collective experience. I worked with them on a monthly basis, and that allowed me to have the opportunity to keep doing this as a full-time career. And so I think that was one of my success stories, is just finally finding some stability. And I would say another one is just, you know, being a bit more present with the events that I was at, you know. I tried to make it to every single event that Ulta would provide for us, you know, whether it be like a little pop-up truck or whether it would be the Half Magic event. I just wanted to be present. And I think one of my successes was how present I was and how involved I was in the collective.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great lesson for every creator. Showing up is so important. I talked about this on the first episode with a founder of a PR agency when we were talking about how do you get invited to events. Well, a big way is to go to any event that you get invited to.
Absolutely.
At the beginning when you're first starting out. Like, it's so important to start showing up then for smaller brands, maybe brands that you're not as interested in, and then growing that relationship longer term.
Absolutely. So,
very good to know. Okay, last question. What was something that you're taking away that you didn't expect to?
I would say, you know, with the collective, although I talked about my successes and stuff, there was also some hardships. You know, there was some difficulties, not necessarily with brands and like working with the collective members, but I had a lot of personal changes in my life happen throughout my collective experience. I'm pretty open about it online. My mom passed back in June, and that was a big change for me and my family. It was really, really hard to deal with, especially when you're an entrepreneur and you're doing this yourself. I was really thankful that the collective and the Ulta Beauty team, they were so flexible and understanding with me that honestly, they were impacted the least just because of how our relationship was and how flexible they were with me. But I realized, and I'm taking this with me for the entirety of my content creation career, I'm just realizing the impact that your personal life, you know, what kind of changes that can make to your career and how it just impacts that. And so I think I'm just taking like a life lesson where, you know, you have to find some kind of routine with yourself, find some kind of stability, find some kind of way that you can continue with this job when it's so difficult sometimes. And it's, I'm not comparing it necessarily to other careers. You know, other careers are definitely harder in their own ways, but this is a mentally draining career. It's a career that's not always stable, not always consistent. And throughout my year in the collective, I think I just saw so many changes, not only in the influencer space, but also just with me personally, that I think I'm just taking some of those lessons with me and taking, like, you know, my experience working with brands when I have something so heavy in my personal life happen, how I manage that and how I continue to work through all that, those lessons that I've learned along the way is definitely something that I'm continuing to take with me when I'm working with other brands, when I'm just trying to make my own content. It's a hard thing to do, but, you know, I think being in the collective, it showed me that this is something that I can turn into a full-time career. There's definitely hardships that I experienced, but the collective just showed me that I can do it and that opportunity is out there and I just got to push through and something beautiful will result at the end of it.
That is very beautiful. I agree 100%. Entrepreneurship as a creator or otherwise is truly one of the most difficult career paths because there is no like linear rules. And while the rules can be very stringent for other careers, and I'm not saying those rules are fair because we get a lot of flexibility, but when I had a baby, my father passed last year, there's no like roadmap. There's no like, hey, you get this many days off. No one's going to call you. No one's going to like anything. It's like, I have clients that I need to respond to. I have this, I have that. And it's like, no one's saying you get this amount of time off. You get these boundaries. You have to create them all yourself. Mm-hmm. So that is a huge lesson to take with you into the future for sure. Yeah.
And I will say when my mom passed, you know, obviously I was dealing with some heavy, heavy mental health issues after that. And then all of a sudden for me, it became physical where I started dealing with a lot of physical health issues. And there were moments that I found within the past few months that I just simply was not able to work. I just couldn't create content. I couldn't do anything. And I was really thankful that I had the collective behind me because they were just continuing to support and be there for me, whether I just needed to vent. You know, I did vent to some of my collective members. And then having the Ulta Beauty team be so flexible with me, I was so, so grateful. But you find out that when there's not a boss or a manager pressuring you to come into work that day, when you work for yourself, you're going to take those times off. It's going to be really, really difficult for you to get online when you are in that kind of place mentally. And it does affect you. It does affect your career. It affects your numbers, your engagement, your following. It's really important for you to be consistent in this job. And when you have these personal life changes happen, it's really hard to continue and to get back into the groove of things. So having a year-long partnership like the collective, just having something to go back to where I'm like, oh, I know it's here. I know they're being flexible with me. I know they're being helpful. It was really easy to finally like get back into the groove of the collective, and then ultimately helped me get into the groove of like my own content.
I'm so glad that they were so supportive and helpful, and that, you know, clearly the universe's journey was for you to be supported through a hard time. So that's wonderful.
I constantly think about, like, I imagine if I wasn't in the collective when all that happened, I mean, I don't think I would be doing content still to this day if I wasn't in the collective and had that long-term partnership. I just think, you know, it was such a change in my life that if I didn't have that constant there, it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. Well, taking that lesson and moving forward, let's say you don't get into Ulta Beauty Collective again this year. What are sort of your plans moving forward? What are some things that you're excited for yourself? Like, what are you building in the Kevin Lee universe moving forward.
Yeah. So I am constantly trying to think about what kind of content I want to create and what kind of content I want to put out on social media. And it's forever changing. You know, last week, I think I was like, I'm going to switch over to lifestyle content. Like, let's just do it. And then this week, I'm like, I'm a beauty content creator. We're going to stick to that. But I think in the future, in the very soon near future, one of the things I would really like to start working on is collaborations in content. I think that's something that's really missing on TikTok that I used to love on YouTube. My favorite thing is when two beauty YouTubers got together and made a video. Whether it was funny, whether it was educational, it was just refreshing to see. And I think TikTokers get into their head and get into the groove of things and just keep filming by themselves in their room. And one thing that the collective taught me was to really lean on these other creators and really get them involved and stuff. So in the near future, I want to start taking advantage of the fact that I am in Los Angeles and I am in a place where there's a lot of other content creators. It would be so beneficial for us to just get together and create content together. I think it could be exciting. I think it could be refreshing. It could be new and fun. And it's something that I want to start doing way more than what I'm doing right now. Whether it's funny videos or just makeup routines or whatever, I think you're going to see that coming from me a lot in the near future. And you're also going to be seeing a little bit more of artsy videos. I miss my artsy videos. I miss it so much. I am a big person. You know, I talk on camera a lot. I'm a big talker. I can talk for hours. I normally just put my phone up on a tripod and I just chit chat with my following. I just kind of talk. I'm a little silly, but I miss my artsy side. I miss making art. I miss creating in that way. And so I think you're going to see some special type of content coming from me. You might be a little shocked. You might be like, whoa, what's going on here? And just like scroll on by. Mm-hmm. But you'll get used to it. I promise.
Well, I'm really excited to see what you create. And I'm so glad that you said collaborative content, because that's actually how I found you. I was following Miss Rudy, and who we've mentioned. Yeah. And I think you guys were doing a little friends reunion or something. And it made me think, like, look how cute and like vivacious this content is, because clearly these people feed off of each other. They're more creative. They're more fun together. And if more content creators found, I always call them a buddy. If more people found a buddy to do content with, like, you would shoot so much more and so much more freely, and you'd be more yourself than ever. Cause I'm sure you have this problem sometimes when you're like in a silo and you're by yourself all day and then you go to turn on the camera and start talking, you're like kind of stiff. It's like not the most you that you are.
Yeah. And I do want to kind of stress on that also. I was just talking to Rudy for like an hour and a half before this call. We are not only content creator friends, we're not only friends online, but we're also friends just in real life. And one of the reasons that her and I just really work so well together is because when we first started making content, the fact that this job was so isolating, it was so lonely. I think both of us just needed a friend. We needed our coworker, and she was my chosen coworker. I was like, you know what? You're going to be my friend. You're going to be the person that I just vent to all the time. And having that support is really, really helpful in the hard times and the good times and all of it. And so you seeing that honestly means a lot. Seeing our friendship and how it like is explored through our own content is beautiful. And, you know, I think you have to find your support. You have to find people that understand. So if you don't have a community, if you're a micro influencer or a nano influencer just starting out, make sure to prioritize your influencer content creator community. Make sure to find your people. They're going to help you stick through this, stick it out, because they're probably having the same exact feelings. You know, they're probably questioning, what has my life become? Why am I just talking to my phone? Why did I quit my full-time job? Why did I do all of this? You need your people to support you, to like keep motivating you.
Yep. And you can find those people on Lip Service in Geneva, on the Geneva group. You can come chit-chat all day, every day. And that's where people are finding each other right now. We're setting up a little Sephora shopping event in April.
Oh, so fun.
Trying to do some more Zooms together. But definitely, I think even if it's just somebody that you can DM and send a voice note to and be like, isn't this shitty?
Yeah.
Sometimes that's the best.
Absolutely. And if ever you're nervous to do so, just keep honestly remembering that we are all weirdos talking to ourselves on the phone. Like, we're just sitting in our room talking to ourselves. That is weird. That is so weird.
That's weird.
And we are all able to connect, you know, on a certain level to each other doing that. And, you know, I think we all started from the same place too. So if there's a bigger creator that all of a sudden starts following you and you really want to be friends with them, they are exactly the same as you. Just because they have a massive following doesn't mean that they're any different. They just started at a different time. They had a little bit of a different path, but they're still a content creator at heart. And there's some similarities between you two, and you are able to connect, and they can also be your person. So yeah, it's a bit intimidating at times, but we're all in this together. That's what I like to think.
Yes, I love that advice. I hear all the time from other creators like, oh, but they have 100,000 followers. I can't DM them. I can't. I'm like, yes, you can. They're just people.
Do you know how many people I meet at events that I just start chatting with and we become friendly with one another? We pull out our phones to follow each other. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm talking to a star right now. And I didn't even realize, but there's so many people out there with like large following, and you're going to be one of those people one day too. And it's just, you know, you're the same people. You're in the same career.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything about the beauty industry specifically that you're really excited for this year or that you hope to see come to fruition?
You know what I think I'm seeing more and more of that I'm really excited about? So like I said earlier in the podcast, I started on YouTube. I am a long form content type of person. I love to create it. I love to watch it. I love everything about it. And I get a lot of frustrations when it comes to TikTok and the things that we are doing in terms of short-term content. I think we're losing the quality reviews. I think we're losing personality from other I think we're just losing a lot when it comes to short-form content, because at one point it was like 7 seconds. That was like the recommended TikTok video.
I remember.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's grown and grown and grown. And now all of a sudden they're what? Recommending like 10-minute videos, 30-minute videos on TikTok. Yeah, I think we're going to be seeing a rise in YouTube videos again. And I'm just really excited to see it. I'm excited to just kind of not necessarily go back to 2016 YouTube, but to just take some elements from it and apply that to today's content and see how the creators that we love on TikTok, some of your favorite creators, think about them transforming into long-form content, 20-minute videos. I think that's going to be really exciting. And I think we're going to see a lot of new content coming, because if you think about TikTokers, a lot of us came from traditional 9-to-5 jobs. You know, we're not influencers. We didn't start out in 2015, 2016. You know, we all started out in 2020, especially TikTokers. And a lot of us came from different places. And I'm just excited to see us all kind of, you know, find our little unique voices. I think TikTok videos, they seem kind of repetitive. You just keep scrolling and you're like seeing the same thing over and over again. I think with the addition of long form content, you're going to be seeing unique voices more and more, unique versions of content. And I'm excited to see that.
Amazing. Okay. Final question before we wrap up. What would you tell someone who's just starting out? Like sometimes people hire me for a profile audit or a little bit of mentorship and they're under 1,000 followers. What do you tell that person when it feels so overwhelming to get to where you are or beyond?
So it's a little, it's interesting because when I first started content, it was the rise of TikTok and virality was a bit more reachable, if you will. It was easier to go viral and it was easier to build a platform. Now getting started, you know, I give you props if you're getting started right now. I think that's really amazing, especially because it's just, it seems a little bit more difficult right now. But my one piece of advice was to just continue to remind yourself why you are creating content. I hope that you are creating content because you truly just enjoy reviewing products and you enjoy being creative online and you enjoy creating these videos. What you cannot do is become a content creator because you want the free product, because you want the perks of the job. You have to make sure that you enjoy this, because there are going to be times when all of a sudden you don't have money coming in. I mean, it's very scary when we approach the end of the year and brands are out of budgets and you're like, what is going on? It's a scary time. And in those moments, I just have to keep reminding myself, like, no, I'm creating content because I enjoy making content. Like, think about the excitement that you had when you posted your first video. Sure, there was some nerves and sure there was some kind of, like, you know, anticipation behind it. But you have to remember, like, why did you create that first video in the first place? Did you enjoy making content? Were you inspired by somebody? Think about those moments when you are frustrated because you're not building a massive following. Like, it's okay. It's going to come in time. But just constantly remind yourself that you enjoy doing this and you're not doing it for all the perks and the money and all that stuff. Make sure you enjoy what you're doing, especially because as a creative, you have to enjoy it or you're going to get so burnt out and frustrated.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, if your goal is to hit 5,000 or 10,000 followers, right, you have a first milestone that you're getting towards. If you hate the journey to that milestone, it doesn't even matter to get there, right? If you hated doing a get ready with me every single day to get there, it doesn't get any better just because you have the following, right? You have to start to create the content that you actually enjoy showing up for, which is why it kind of takes us back to the very beginning. It's so important to not get so deep into other people's content and decide, what do I really like to do every day? Because that is what you're going to be doing for years if you're really a full-time creator.
Absolutely. And I also have started, and this is maybe a second piece of advice, for my goals. My goals are never number related. They have nothing to do with numbers. I never make my goal to get to 30,000 by June. You know, that's never going to be my goal because I've been at like 20,000 followers for quite some time now, and I continue to make content. And it's just because my goals are simply not revolved around numbers. Because I think sometimes you're fighting an algorithm that doesn't necessarily appreciate.
Doesn't care.
That algorithm looks at you and they're laughing. But what you can do is create a goal for yourself. Like, I'm going to post 2 videos every single day this week. And when I do that, I'm going to feel so accomplished because I achieved that goal. If I make it like I'm going to reach 30,000 followers by June, I'm sorry, but if I don't get there by June, I'm going to be really hard on myself. And that's going to be detrimental to the constant, you know, the consistency that I need to have behind my content. If I get frustrated over and over again because I'm not reaching these goals, I'm going to be burnt out before I know it, and I'm going to stop creating content. If you create a goal for yourself that it's in your hands to achieve, then I think you'll get there and you'll feel good, and then you'll continue to motivate yourself and create these new achievable goals.
Yeah. I love that you said that, because I haven't even had a chance to talk about this really outwardly yet. But on the 27th of this month, I'm going to host a Q2 goals setting workshop. And it's all about how you want to feel and what are actual attainable goals and sort of visualization of those goals and how can we set a ladder to reach that goal. So a lot of the people who I mentor say, oh, I want to start this series. And so we do like a 10 ladder. Okay, well, if you're really going to start a series, I need to see you show up 10 times in that series before you can move on to the next thing that you want to do. So if you're listening, we're going to have a little Zoom workshop open to anyone. And Kevin Lee is, of course, invited to set our Q2 goals and really sit and brainstorm together as a community what we'd like to see happen for ourselves in the next coming month. So
that's amazing.
Please join us there. Yeah. I will send the details I'll post them, of course, on social, but we'll put them in the show notes.
That's amazing.
And we will, of course, we'll, of course, put all of Kevin's details in the show notes as well. A link to his YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. We hope you follow him and that you cheer him on his journey moving forward. Thank you so much for sharing, especially about Ulta. I feel like there's so much behind the curtain there that's going on, and it seems like such a beautiful experience. And I'm really glad you were able to come on and tell this story.
Yeah, it's an amazing opportunity, and thank you for having me. And honestly, it's fun to just kind of reminisce about my experience in the collective. So it's been a great time. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you. And thanks everybody for joining us for this episode of Lip Service, the podcast. We will see you on the next one. Thank you so much, as always, for listening to Lip Service, the podcast with me, Sonia Elise. If you just can't get enough of me or this podcast, which I know is the case, please follow me on Instagram and TikTok at sonia.elise. That's SONIA.ELYSS. In addition, it would mean the world to me if you could rate and review this podcast and just let me know what you think. As a thank you for being a listener, I will be selecting a monthly winner to receive a free one-on-one session with me. All you have to do to enter is screenshot the podcast and share it on your Instagram stories, tagging myself as well as at Lip Service World. If listening to this podcast has inspired you to invest in your journey as a beauty creator, don't forget that you can get my eyes on your account with a custom profile audit. It's $35, the same as a Stanley Cup, but it adds way more value to your life. Don't forget that sharing your life online can spark joy, so just hit post. Catch you on the next episode.